His name has been out there associated with terrorism, and with today's all what's going on in the world about terrorism, national security, scrutiny of passengers, everything, it's simply impossible to
go back
and travel.
And yet he has been completely cleared by the Canadian government. We're going to have to leave it there. I thank you so much, both of you, for being with us from Ottawa. Monia Mazich, the wife of Meher Arar, and Alex Neve, the head of Amnesty International Canada. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8 o'clock. Coming up next is Voices from the Edge Talk Radio with guest host Dave Mazza. Today we're going to host a forum of candidates for the KBOO Board of Directors.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present Who is Gil Scott-Heron as part of the We Real Cool Jazz Series at the Clinton Street Theater Thursday, September 17th at 7 p.m. Who is Gil Scott-Heron is a portrait seen through the eyes of those who love Gil, his friends, his family, and the musicians he played with. All attending the theatrical screenings receive a download of Scott-Heron's last record, Nothing New. Again, that's Who is Gil Scott-Heron, Thursday, September 17th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Rockets and moonshots.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present Arresting Power, Resisting Police Violence in Portland, Oregon, as part of the KBOO at the Clinton Monthly Film Series. Arresting Power documents the history of conflict between the Portland police and community members throughout the past 50 years and creates a space for understanding the impacts of police violence and imagining a world without police. Again, that's Arresting Power, Thursday, September 10th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hey, you! We got your book! We're at the gates! We're at your door!
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the other September 11th. Film screening and discussion about the lasting impacts of the U.S.-funded military coup in Chile on September 11th, 1973. The event will take place on Friday, September 11th at 7 p.m. at the Fifth Avenue Cinema in Portland. This film screening will include two 30-minute documentaries that focus on Mapuche land reclamation and language revitalization, as well as a discussion with the filmmaker about the specific laws that have been used to target the indigenous Mapuche people since the dictatorship began in 1973. Again, that's the other September 11th, on Friday, September 11th, at 7 p.m. at Fifth Avenue Cinema, 510 Southwest Hall Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, good morning. You're listening to Voices from the Edge, and this is Dave Mazza. Joanne is away, and in fact, she'll be away for the next 2 weeks, so I'll be sitting here behind the desk talking with you today and next Thursday as well. Want to talk to you, though, about what's happening today, because we have a very special show. Doing a little detour from our usual routine. As many of you know, and maybe some of you don't know, we're a very democratic organization here at KBOO. We take our elections of board members very seriously. We think it's all part of being a community radio station. We want people to be engaged. We want people to be involved. And one of the ways that we do that is we hold these candidate forums for the people running for the board of directors. And we're going to spend the hour this morning talking with the slate of candidates who are coming up and to serve on the KBOO board. So we're going to have a chance. You're going to have a chance to call in a little bit here, ask questions of the people who will be making the big policy decisions. And I might add at this point, keep in mind that the board of directors at KBOO, they're involved with policy and finances, not programming. So we're not going to be talking about program changes or things like that. We're going to be talking about kind of the structural stuff, that what's going to make KBOO strong to go into the future. So sit by and join us here. It's going to be an important discussion. It's the way you stay involved and have a voice in what KBOO is all about. So let's get rolling here. We have at the moment three of our four candidates. We're hoping the fourth will be here shortly. And we have here in the studio, we have Timothy Welp and Gil Cardone. Thanks, guys, for showing up here this morning.
Thank you, Dave.
And
Good morning. Good morning.
And by phone, down in Salem, we have Shaheen Khalili, also running for the board. Good morning, Shaheen.
Good morning.
And we're going to start off with just a few questions before we open up the phone lines, kind of get the ball rolling, and then we'll ask you all out there to give us a call. And I'm going to start with, obviously, a real simple one, which is, why do you want to serve? What's your motivation for serving? Shaheen, what's your reason for wanting to be on the board of directors?
I feel that I've been an advocate my entire life, really, for people from disadvantaged communities. Being that I grew up in a disadvantaged community, I grew up in a household with a low-income single mother, and have, faced the challenges that I think a lot of people in the underserved community have faced themselves. And so that's something that I would like to see represented on the board. And I continue to be an advocate for that.
Okay. How about you, Gil? What's made you decide to sign up to serve on the board of directors?
Well, interestingly enough, Dave, I seem to share a similar childhood experience with Shaheem. I grew up in a single parent household. My mother raised myself and my sister by herself. She worked a couple jobs, so we spent a lot of time at our grandparents. And it was her. She's an immigrant from Mexico. And we were in the Central Valley of California because there's a lot of migrant workers and working in the fields there. And she basically, as a role model, said it to us to work hard and just stay the straight and narrow and be a part of the community. And she also worked for Head Start Child Development for 20 years, also helping other low-income families get into the public school system. So it just grew up naturally for me to be a part of the community.
Timothy Welp, why are you putting your name on the ballot?
Good morning. I think all of us have common themes. I think for myself, the opportunity to, basically to practice what I preach, I've been involved in community organizing or supporting, social and economic justice activities. For those things to actually function, there has to be a viable place for folks from the grassroots, from the community, to come and be involved. And KBOO has a fabulous history of really welcoming all folks who have the initiative to come and help keep things honest on a community level. And it's also, there's so many different parts of KBOO that are vital to us actually having an honest community voice. It seems like something that I want to be involved in.
Okay. What, and you've actually, all three of you kind of touched on this a little bit, but I want to kind of zero in on some a little more specifics in terms of what sort of specific knowledge or skills are you bringing as a board? Will you be bringing as a board member? I mean, I'm thinking like working with coalitions in the community or specific radio skills as well. So let's start with Tim this time.
Sure. My background is in children's mental health, the mental health system, helping problem solve. With real challenging family systems and those sorts of things, but that the being around that kind of work exposed me to the social justice challenges. In some respects, I'm a product of the Portland Jobs with Justice Coalition, where I found a lot of ways to be involved, and I suppose 20 years or more, I've been involved off and on in the social justice activities, but that I'm kind of meandering here. To cut to the chase, I've gone from being involved in mental health field to working in labor, and so I've been around all sorts of social justice activities, whether that's fighting for a living wage, whether that's fighting for workers' rights, all those sorts of things that, in essence, are bread and butter struggles. So I've had to learn to function in all those different coalition groups over the years. So it's those sets of skills of helping folks, you know, keep their eye on the prize, so to speak. Those are the skills that I think I have to offer around helping us as an organization, you know, navigating the challenges around policy and the finances. So
okay, Gil Cardone, how about you? What skill sets and specific experiences are you bringing to the board?
Well, Dave, my academic background is in sociology and education. So sociology, because I think, again, I have a natural inclination and interest towards studying other people, groups, cultures, languages. And education, because I love to teach. I think it's also something that's natural. I love to do. I love to be a tutor, a role model, as my mother was to me. And education, I've always been, I love to study. I don't know, I grew up kind of nerdy. But actually, as part of the education minor in university, I was a tutor and mentor to some young South Central students, part of the African American Male Achievement Network. And then following that, following graduation, I went on to teach in Japan, where I was both a language instructor and a cultural ambassador. So half my job was actually teaching about American culture and then also receiving Japanese culture. So those the beginning of my international public relations experience.
Wow, impressive. Shaheen Khalili, how about you? What you've touched a little bit on with your work in the past, but what specific skill sets are you going to be bringing as a board member?
I believe I have a range of skill sets. I have been working as an advocate in coalitions since the time I was in college back in 2001. I became active with the Multicultural Student Coalition, which was a group of students that worked together to basically run a campaign to overrun the conservative majority on the Associated Student Body in Wisconsin, at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and was we were very successful, and we were able to get funding for student organizations that were traditionally underrepresented. I also was active in the USSA Legislative Conference, which allowed students to advocate to get better financial aid, and was active in the Vote 2002 Coalition as a student as well. I became a teacher during the summers while I was in school, teaching youth from high schools that were from the Chicago area, who would normally not have access to higher education opportunities, and was able to teach them biology topics classes during the summers. And from there, I also taught in Korea, teaching English as a foreign language, similar experience. It was somewhat of a culture shock in a way, because I hadn't been exposed at that point to the Korean culture as a whole until my teaching experience there. But I had also worked in Greece and had international experience as a child living in Iran during the Iran-Iraq War. So I have some understanding of what's happening outside of the U.S. fairly well. I also, from, you know, the time I graduated college, although I studied botany and zoology, which I love biology. However, my passion really was working as an advocate with a lot of different underrepresented groups, and I ended up working with unions starting in 2007 as an organizer and a union representative with AFSCME in California, and then have been working with unions since then. And currently, I'm working also with the 15 Now Coalition in Portland. And all of that experience has really helped me be able to navigate through a lot of different challenges that a lot of different groups have faced. And that's what I can bring to the board.
Okay, thank you. Excuse me there, I'm losing my voice. Well, if you're just tuning in right now, you're listening to Voices from the Edge. I'm Dave Mazza. Joanne's off on the road for a couple of weeks, but we're doing a special program this morning in which we are talking to the candidates for the KBOO Board of Directors. And if you're not familiar with how we operate here, you should be, but seriously. We are a very democratic organization. We take the board of directors role as very serious. We want people to be engaged and involved. And so one of the things we do is we hold candidate forums, and we're spending this morning, this hour this morning, doing just that, talking with the four candidates. Well, three candidates. Our fourth, we hope, will be showing up here soon. We want you to engage and join in the conversation by giving us a call at 503-231-8187. And I want to just preface any calls by saying, first of all, remember, Board of Directors deals with policy and finances, not programming. So we really like to keep the conversation about what do we do to build the infrastructure of KBOO to, you know, move it forward into the future and not get into specific programming questions. So I think we do have some callers. Let's go to the phone line. And we have Joanne on the line. Good morning, Joanne.
Yes, hello. I appreciate the program and appreciate KBOO. I'm not a member of KBOO because I believe KBOO has been taken over by the gentrifying energy that has taken over the United States and taken over Oregon. And I also know, too, you do not need a vote from me. But thank you for listening. Thank you.
Okay.
I just want to thank Joanne for calling in. I often hear Joanne, and she often cuts straight to the question. So appreciate your call, Joanne.
Right. Brevity. We really appreciate brevity. Well, again, give us a call at 231-8187 and ask questions. We've got the candidates here, and here's your chance. Meanwhile, I want to ask a question that does relate to one of the core things that board members do, and that's finances. We live in a very evolving media market. The industry's changing, how we reach people changes, and all that creates questions of also of how we ensure that the organization has the money it needs to operate. So my question to you three is, what do you see as needing to be done by the board to keep KBOO moving forward on a good, solid financial basis? And why don't we start with Gil Cardone on this one?
Sure, and I think the current board members have been doing a great job. I mean, I've only been in Portland for a little over a year now, but from what I've seen, and basically I started volunteering at KBOO just after I moved here, so it was a great way to get involved in the community, and I do see KBOO really involved, really embedded. I mean, KBOO's been around for many years, so they're very embedded within the community and have formed many partnerships with local businesses where I think there's sort of some cross-pollination as far as promotional activities go. If, you know, there's so many festivals, which is amazing to me, around Portland, and I love it because it brings people out, it brings people together, and you'll almost always see KBOO there. You'll see a tent there, and I've loved volunteering and working the tables and meeting other people in Portland and just experiencing firsthand these events. So not only will KBOO be there present, you know, there's some sponsorships or there's you know, other local businesses will donate to the volunteers to say food and drinks when there's membership drives. I mean, all these partnerships are very important so that we stay aware of each other's activities and what we're doing, because with social media nowadays, it's everything's up in the air and you don't really have that face-to-face time, like me and you looking face-to-face at each other, even though the listeners can't see us, we can see each other, and that's great, having that conversation eye-to-eye. So that's what KBOO still has. The feet are on the ground, you know. There's still the human interaction, And with that, I think people feel more a part of the KBOO community. Even if you're not a volunteer, you feel a part. Just like Joanne, thank you again for calling in. You know, people are want to be connected, and they make the effort to be connected. So that being said and that being recognized, I think people know the importance of KBOO and the community to keep it alive. So I think many people want to, of course, donate and contribute whatever they can. And that's what's important, because everything adds up, and it keeps the lights on and it keeps us going.
Okay. Shaheen, what about you? What do you see, you know, what steps do you think need to be taken by the board in the upcoming years to keep KBOO going on a steady financial foundation?
I've heard a lot on the radio, you know, the fundraising pitches. I think it is, as Gil said, important for us to maintain our connections to the community, because, you know, basically we want to maintain the honesty and the grassroots sort of, you know, funding level, because of the fact that, you know, we want to not become a corporate sort of run radio station. And I think that's really important. And I think I can bring different ideas to the, you know, to our goals toward fundraising. I probably wouldn't be able to lay them out for you in detail right now, but I do know that I do have a very creative mind and think outside the box quite a bit regarding a lot of activity, including fundraising.
Okay. Timothy, well, what's your take on the finances and what we need to do to stay financially stable in the coming years?
Sure. Thanks, Dave. I'd share that I've been on the board for about the last year and a half, and the things, a couple of things that just quickly touch on is that for the last two fiscal years, KBOO has been financially in the black or positive. That's so to just highlighting, there's been a lot of fundamental work to really ground and stabilize and prepare to build. As the other things that are going on, and just stating real briefly, I think is the clear recognition by the board that we have to evolve. Community radio stations across the country struggle greatly because radio in general, it is changing. Folks have mobile apps. Folks are able to listen when they want to. And so KBOO has done a lot of good work to be ready to evolve to that place also. We're very soon to have a new mobile app up. We've got a new web site that's going to be up soon. A lot of work. It's taken a long time to, you know, put the funds together, to hire, to sort through, to do all the homework, to make those things really solid. I think folks will see that in the next handful of months. Couple other things is that what we're talking about on the board is trying to figure out how to continue to be as open to the community. We are wanting to reach out toward natural allies, because we really have to help folks as much as people, all of the regular listeners know that we have a place for all kinds of activism and all kinds of voices. There's a lot of groups that are very like-minded but don't know about us well enough. So we're really needing to figure out how to evolve so that folks can get the programming they want when they want it, and at the same time build relationships, because the current political environment, our community really needs to be connected. We need to be fighting together on these common issues, not, going it alone. So that's a short take on it.
Okay. Well, again, if you're just tuning in, you've been missing a great program, and you're going to regret that. But seriously, we're going to spend some time this morning. We are spending some time this morning, I should say, on talking with the candidates for the KBOO Board of Directors. We do this every year. We have candidate forums. We have all sorts of opportunities for members and non-members to contact and talk with the candidates, get some idea of where they stand, where they're going with KBOO, and get feedback from you about what you would like to see happen at KBOO. And that's how we're spending the hour this morning. We want you to join us in that conversation by giving us a call at 503-231-8187. And again, I just want to remind everyone, Board of Directors deals with policy and finances. So we really want to kind of stay in that area and not get into specific programming questions. So again, if you want to give us a call, 503-231-8187, we have a caller on the line. We have James on the line. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
What's your question for the board?
So I don't know if this was already asked yet. I kind of joined a little late, but how do you plan on making the income and the sponsorship for KBOO? I mean, I know you guys offer a lot of, you know, different programming that deals with a lot of different issues with different people, but as far as the funding, where it's coming from, how do you plan on diversifying it to make sure that it's that KBOO becomes a community pillar and doesn't just kind of isn't just leaning like towards one set of funding, like, you know, from white folks? Like, you make sure that you're getting the message out to communities of color, transgender communities, and making sure that the money's coming in from different places. How do you, I don't know if that's a real question, but
no, diversity of funding sources in the very true sense is what you're asking, right?
Yeah, because that's I feel like that's something important to me, because there's a lot of folks, just by virtue of who they hang out with or who they associate with, that's where a lot of, you know, that's where we get a lot of our get a lot of funding, I guess.
And okay,
I just wanted to see what you would do to keep that diverse or continue to make it more diverse.
Okay, well, that's a great question. Let's start with Shaheen. Shaheen, how would you respond to James's question?
I think that's a great question. I would definitely make that something that I would want to be very conscious of while being in the process of making decisions about how we're receiving funding and by who. I think it's very important that we have ties to every aspect of our community, and not excluding anybody. Being very inclusive, as inclusive as possible, is definitely a priority. So I appreciate his comment, and I agree with it.
Okay. Tim, what's your response?
It's a great question. I think the first place is to make sure that wherever possible, our organization, our board, our staff, all and the volunteers, it's a welcoming, safe place to see. And we also want to see that we have good diversity amongst our board. But it's absolutely appropriate. I mean, I think it comes back to the mission of KBOO to be a place for underserved and minority voices. And so we have to basically look straight at that and figure out where are we looking to you know, strengthen our relationships. And that comes back to a little bit the comment I made a minute ago about how we need to be reaching out to our natural allies. I think the other quick question is, and it's really straight to the funding stream or to sponsorships. I think we have to, as we have done in the past and we have to continue to do, we have to check ourselves when we align with any organization. Does that fit our mission? And so that's all those pieces come together to try and hold us and to grow in the direction that keeps us as honest as we can be. But at the end, I mean, this is a place where we invite the community to come in. There is all kinds of opportunities. And just like Joanne called earlier, we have to welcome feedback, and that includes criticism, because otherwise our message rings hollow. So we basically need to welcome it on all different levels and figure out how to do it better. And we do that with the help of volunteer activists.
Okay. Gail Cardone, how would you respond to James' question about ensuring we maintain the diversity of our revenue sources?
Sure. And again, I also agree that's a great question. I just moved from... Even though I'm originally from California, I just moved from New York City a little over a year ago, and I think everybody knows it's a giant international city, and there's a great deal of diversity. So when I first moved here, yeah, of course there was a little bit of culture shock, and I did notice that there wasn't quite as much diversity.
You're being gentle.
But you know what? Surprisingly, there was more diversity than I thought or even expected. You just get out there, and again, you know, becoming a part of KBOO. Firstly, I want to say just here at KBOO, the community here, specifically the volunteers and staff and everybody, it's quite diverse. Several of the meetings I've joined, some ally skill building meetings, and it's quite diverse. There are people of different backgrounds, different race, ethnicities, sexual orientations, and it's great. We're all just here because there's that common thread amongst us that brings us together, which is we do care about the community. We do want to do our part. And so that's just KBOO. But then venturing out further, you know, I did start to think, well, with all these festivals and events going on, why isn't there some type of more international type of event, considering the rate at which Portland's been growing, even in just the year that I've been here, it's amazing. And so, coincidentally enough, I just stumbled upon International Night Market. It's Jade Night Market that just happened a few weeks ago. It was 2 weekends in a row. It was the second year they're doing it, and it was hosted by APANO, which is an Asian Pacific nonprofit organization, and it's fantastic. I've visited the night markets in Taipei, Taiwan, and I thought they were great. You know, I thought it'd be similar, and it was. You know, food, you know, a lot of music, and you do have a few of the local, more popular food trucks and vendors there, but just a few. Mostly, it was, you know, probably, you know, local restaurants that you haven't heard of before, and that's what I like. Other, you know, small businesses, international, you know, people coming from other countries and making Portland their home and sharing the food from the, you know, the nation, the country they come from, sharing their culture, which was fantastic. And then I just heard also more recently that where I live in Beaverton now, and there's actually a Beaverton International Cultural Festival coming up this month, I believe on September 13th. So you do see those, you do recognize those little bits as, you know, steps and steps of changes towards more diversity. So what I think is that I would like to see now KBOO get involved. Now that I've been to so many events, you know, like I said, tabling and volunteering, and I'd like to see KBOO have a presence at some of these events to start expanding the network more internationally.
Okay. Nice. Well, again, you're listening to Voices from the Edge. I'm Dave Mazza. We're speaking this morning with the candidates for the Board of Directors of the KBOO Board of Directors, I should add. And this is your opportunity to call in 503-231-8187. Ask them a question. As again, we're talking about policy and finances, not programming. But anyway, we're going to go back to the phone lines where we have April on the line. Good morning, April.
Hi, I'm actually a member, and I got the ballot in the mail, and I actually have a question about what was Gil had written in there. I noticed that during the time that he was in New York, which he just mentioned, he volunteered as a police officer, and I just wondered if he was able to, felt like he was able to connect to the community, to listen to individual people, and impact community policing in any way, because it's, you know, I know it's a controversial topic.
Oh, yes, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And that is, of course, been on my mind more recently. And when I wrote that, and I did think about it, it took me aback because when I first moved to Japan, actually, I arrived a month after I had just moved there, was 9/11. And you can imagine, you know, me being in a different country and not knowing the language of anybody, and I'm watching this on the television, not understanding what the news anchors are saying, but I just see the images, and it was totally unbelievable. And I was in total shock, you know, in many different ways. So being there and seeing the things, you know, transpire in the United States with the war and everything, and I lived in Hiroshima Prefecture, which, as you can imagine, you know, not far from Hiroshima City, which is considered International City of Peace now. The older generation didn't really take too kindly to the United States going to war. So, and as I mentioned before, part of my job was to be a cultural ambassador to teach about America. So I really had to be careful and step lightly on teaching about certain things. So I kind of went more the international route. back then, and teaching more about many cultures and as they relate to America. But to answer your question, yes, as an auxiliary police officer, the reason why I did that was, of course, first to become part of the community in New York, where I lived in my neighborhood. But secondly, you know, to really do my part, you know, to serve and protect as they say they're supposed to. And yes, it is volunteer. We're auxiliary police officers. This is, we are not being paid. We do have a uniform. We do have a stick, but we don't have a gun. Unfortunately, the first year that I started volunteering, there were two auxiliary officers that were shot and killed, a couple of young men. So after that, we were required to wear a bulletproof vest. So keep in mind, you know, we were also, you know, considered targets, unfortunately. So I did walk the beat. I did have patrol at least once a week. And I did get to interact with the community. And most of it was actually positive. And I think a lot of it did have to do with 9/11. I think people started to see, you know, firefighters and police officers in a different light, and being police officers actually being a part of community to try and help their neighborhoods, and especially auxiliaries who are just volunteers, who are just, you know, average citizens, you know, going after work and suiting up to walk, you know, walk and make sure the streets are safe. And you know, a lot of people would, you know, both locals and visitors to New York would come up and thank me and shake my hand and say thank you for what you're doing. And, you know, it felt great because they recognized that, yes, the police officers are here to help and to serve. So with what's going on recently, it kind of, you know, breaks my heart to see, you know, the police officers who there are, you know, there's different people on every side, but it you know, you have to recognize there are a lot of people who are part of the force because they do want to do good in the community. They do want to help. They do want to serve. So I just hope that everybody will keep that in mind, that not all police officers are out to do damage or to be hurtful.
Okay, well, before we go back to the phone line, I'm just going to remind folks why you need to stay tuned to KBOO 90.7 FM, or if you're listening online, kboo.fm. At 9, it's Press Watch, news you're not supposed to know with Teresa Mitchell. At 9:30 on Fight the Empire, host Per Fagering discusses Europe and the migrant crisis. He also discusses the depleting of Africa and how much more money flows out of Africa than flows into the continent as aid. At 10, Air Cascadia is off today. We'll hear flashpoints. Today, a special report on the current migrant crisis in Hungary in the immediate region. Also, a preview of the 2015 Soil Not Oil International Conference. And we speak with Harvey Wasserman on Obama in Alaska and alternative energy. At 11 on Between the Covers, writer David Mitchell talks about his novel, The Bone Clocks. And at 11:30 on Black Book Talk, a discussion of Octavia's Brood, science fiction stories from social justice movements. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support for community radio. Not a current member? Well, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. It's pretty easy, folks, so if you're not a member yet and you've been listening to KBOO, go ahead, go to that website and click Donate Today. So we're going to go back to the phone lines where we have a caller. We have Steve on the line. Good morning, Steve. What's your question for our board candidates?
Well, good morning. Thank you very much for letting me on.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard a lot of very specifics about how to handle one of the things in terms of fundraising and finance. I think I can take a chance to speak for a lot of folks out there that what we've been concerned with is sort of a gradual slip towards more and more corporate funding. And so what I need to do is hear exactly what are the new terms that you would think of as board members to be that would keep that lid on that very tight. I know there's some gray areas, but in the simple part of it, there's probably very distinct definitions in terms of avoiding influence, limits of how much actual money can be taken up and influenced in terms of programming, which we say does not influence programming, but unfortunately, it'd be hard to say it doesn't at some point. But I know officially it doesn't. So I'd like to hear some definitions.
Okay. Good question. Good question. Let's start with Timothy Welp.
Sure. I would, the caller, Steve, I'd you know, if you have examples of where you feel that's happening, that would be helpful for me to hear. But I will tell you, the over 80% of our funding comes from you know, the pledge drives, member contributions. So that's the one thing. As far as coming back to a specific criteria, I think those things are grounded in our, you know, you can look at it in our mission and our core values. I think.
But no new changes you're proposing.
I guess I'm not familiar with new changes on.
Or he's asking you, would you propose new changes?
Oh, no. No, I think the lion's share of what drives KABU has been and will always probably be grounded in member contributions. There's really no way to there's grant. There's a lot of work going on behind the scenes on grant writing, and that's been very fortunate because historically there was grants available to replace equipment and to maintain the infrastructure. Over the last five or ten years, those have all but completely dried up, and so there's a very real struggle for us to maintain our funding, but that is there is no contemplation of moving toward any kind of commercial corporate support because that is kind of the that's the fundamental issue of why we come here is to be you know commercial free to be corporate free so that we don't have any we're not beholden to corporate interests. So I'm not aware of any consideration to change that vision at all. I think our work is largely on trying to figure out, the biggest focus of the board is really trying to figure out how do we expand our access, how do we make ourselves more available to folks, and that's why a lot of work has gone into the mobile app and the website, because we recognize that we have to be more available on the terms of which our listeners want to find us, because listening to the traditional radio signal, that is going away. But there is no contemplation to change or to welcome any kind of commercial interests. We have some fabulous staff who do the daily business of coordinating and supporting our volunteers, and that also includes helping usher in, making sure that anything comes in is meets the criteria. We have a wonderful person who deals with, I'm trying to find the right word, in essence, in-kind contributions. So there is no proposed change that I have any awareness of.
Okay. Well, Shaheen, as someone who's going to be coming new to the board, how would you respond to Steve's question in terms of, you know, what you see needs or doesn't need to be done to ensure that we're fulfilling the, you know, spirit of KABU's mission around our funding?
I really wasn't aware that KABU had any other sort of funding besides from the fundraising that they do in the community, and that there was any sort of concern about corporate influence. But if it being that clearly he has stated that that is a concern of his, I would guarantee that if I am made aware of anything that's, you know, that I feel wouldn't really represent the community interests or KABU's goals or mission statement, that would definitely be a red flag for me. I haven't seen or heard of anything going on in KABU that would lead me to believe that that's currently true, but I, you know, will be happy, of course, I mean, to always maintain the assisting in keeping KABU's integrity in that effort. And also just wanted to mention, you know, I know for a fact that when I'm you know, tuning in to KABU, I actually have noticed that KABU is the only radio station that I can listen to where I don't have to worry about listening to some commercial about selling diamonds, for example, or jewelry, or, you know, and so to me that is invaluable, because I feel like that's where I can, I know I can tune into KBOO and feel at peace and not feel like what I'm hearing is something that's infuriating to me. So, I really appreciate that about KBOO.
Okay. Well, I won't make my pitch for Maz's House of Jewelry then. So. Anyway, Gil Cardone, what's your response to Steve's question? And he's asking for some specifics, if possible.
Sure. That is a great question, by the way. And, you know, for not just KBOO, but for all nonprofits, I know that there are very strict guidelines. So that is very true. And I can say from firsthand experience, KBOO does make a great effort and does hold itself to strict and higher guidelines as far as being transparent about where the finances are coming from and where they're being allocated. And I did have the opportunity to join one board meeting recently where the financials were discussed. And so I did see exactly, and to basically echo what Tim was saying, a large majority of the funds I know are coming from members, donations, and grants. Other things, I'm not sure, you know, again, if there could be specifics that were brought to our attention, we'd like to know. But, you know, it's not just large corporations, you know, that could be in question. It's even small companies. I know, again, I can say firsthand that even if it comes to a small company, a local company, KBOO holds just very strict guidelines as far as any marketing or sharing of brands or anything like that. You'd be, you know, hard pressed to find, you know, some even smaller companies' brands being pushed out there by KBOO. We're very, very careful. Even when it comes to underwriting, there's no specific favor given into any of the sponsors.
Okay. Well, thank you, Steve. That was a great question. Again, you're listening to Voices from the Edge. I'm Dave Mazza. We're speaking this morning with the candidates for the KBOO Board of Directors. Excuse me there. And this is your chance to speak to them as well. Ask them the questions that you have about where KBOO's going or where you would like it to go. Again, we're talking about policy and finances. We want you to give us a call at 503-231-8187. We've got less than 15 minutes left, so if you want to get a question, you better call now. And while we're waiting for our listeners to ponder what the next question is, I want to ask, day one, you're on the board, first day, what do you see as your very, very top priority? What is the one thing that you really want to see happen at KBOO? And let's start with, we'll start with Gil Cardone.
Well, actually, I'd like to start with some of these questions that have been brought to us today, even on the show. I think these are very salient, very important, because this is what's happening now. This is what our community is asking for. You know, do we need to be more transparent? How can we be more transparent about the financials and sharing what, you know, where everything's being allocated and where they're coming from? And some of the diversity questions, you know, even though I see what's going on here when I come into the station every time, the diversity, maybe our listeners can't always see that, you know, and we want to make sure that everybody knows, you know, what's actually going on. We're practicing what we preach. We're living what we say in truth. And we do, during open regular hours, KBOO has an open door policy. If you want to come by, definitely come on by and say hi and visit with us and talk to the volunteers, maybe sign up yourself and volunteer and join some of these events and get to see, you know, KBOO in action and how we are really and have been a part of the community for so long and welcoming people like me, who, you know, I'm not from the state, you know, I just moved from another totally different state on the East Coast, and I was brought in and welcomed with open arms and no questions asked, no pretension, just, yeah, Gil, you want to come on in? Come on in. I said, okay, thanks. And I made friends and I felt welcome, and that you need that, especially as, you know, a transplant from somewhere else. And so definitely I welcome, you know, members and listeners to come on down and say hi and get to know us here.
Okay. Shaheen, what about you? What would be day one on the board? What is you're going to, you know, identify as your top issue?
I would say fundraising is a huge goal, expanding fundraising for me, and I'm hoping to do that somehow in promoting that, you know, we have larger listenership for KBOO. I feel like I've talked with people that I work with who say they've listened to KBOO here and there, but they're not really, following it. And I think part of that has to do potentially with where I live, because I live in Salem. But I think another issue, might just be because people aren't as aware of everything that KBOO has to offer in terms of, all the different shows and programming and the things that KBOO has done with the community. I feel it's just educating the broader public is a huge goal of mine.
Okay. Timothy Welp, you're writing frantically over there, so what's your response to the question?
Trying to be succinct. I think this is a great example of the board work is not really as glorious as people might think. It is obviously critical, but the first day of the board, we need to make sure that new board members are welcomed. As a board, we need to identify the officers for the next year, and there's some committee work that has to be addressed. But then the most important work is to make sure everybody understands kind of where we are as an organization, a little bit of what our history is, because, as a new member, you're stepping into an ongoing conversation. The other thing that is really, it's back to the business of making sure financially we are on track. And so there is a budget. There will be a brand new budget that we need to adopt. That budget is very detailed. As Gil suggested, it's available and you can see where we're working on stuff. And it's really back to the business of making sure we are continuing to strengthen the foundation and to continue to build our capacity, both just as a community resource, but also making sure that we are keeping the lights on and figuring out how are we going to replace equipment and how are we going to continue to do the trainings and make this a very welcoming place. So it's a lot of those nuts and bolts and making sure that we are speaking with one voice as a board. So there's discussions around policy decisions that we have to make collective decisions on. So it's really, it's very important work, but it's not always as exciting it's not the funnest stuff to talk about, but it's really, we gotta have our ducks in a row, so to speak, so that we actually can be effective. We have a very exciting year in front of us because of all the work that's been done over the last couple of years. There is a huge potential for us to take a big step forward this year, and that's really the job of the board, is to make sure the foundation is in place for the staff, but importantly for the volunteers and for us to do our best work.
You're not supposed to reveal the unfun stuff until they're sworn in on the board. You're scaring the candidates off, Tim.
I'm signing off now.
You still there, Shaheen?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, again, if you're tuning in right now, you've been missing a great conversation, but there's still time to call in and join us. I'm talking with the candidates for the board of directors for the KBOO board of directors. It's something that we do at KBOO regularly to ensure that people, members, are being involved and engaged, giving feedback. And of course, all board meetings are open. There are lots of ways for you to stay involved, and we put all the information up on the website. So, please be engaged, because that's what community radio is about. And if you want to get a call in, a question in before the end of the show, give us a call at 503-231-8187. Okay, let's pick one thing. As when you decide to run for the board, you're looking and seeing how things are operating, and you think things are operating. What is the one thing that you think KBOO should be doing much better? And let's start with Shaheen.
I sort of highlighted it in my previous comment, in that I want really KBOO's listenership to be broader than it is, but that is, a very strategic and long-term.
Do you have any thoughts about how we would broaden that listenership?
Potentially, you know, doing a survey of membership in terms of what they really like, what they're not so much in favor of in terms of what they really like listening to on the radio, and maybe going from there, you know, surveying the broader community, what sort of things do they like to listen to and what do they like to be informed about. I think that is a potential start, sort of getting a pulse on what might potentially be missing, if there is anything missing, or if there's something that we need to emphasize more at KBOO. You know, that's sort of that process needs to happen, I think.
Okay. Tim Welk.
Sure. I think one of the things, and this is one of those questions that, you know, makes me very mindful of my role as a board member, is to deal with policy and finance, like you said earlier. But your question invites me to think more broadly. As a member, one of the things that I think I'm hoping to you know, kind of do the background support work to make our committees, to empower our committees to feel, to help them feel, I guess, more relevant and be able to really be of value. I think we've done a great job. The committees have become stronger over the last year or two. We've still got some work to do there. The other thing, I think, our ability, it kind of touches on what was just mentioned, for us to have a better feedback loop on our programming. I think there's a lot of folks doing good work, but I think we always want to have a better sense of what does the community, what do our members want? Are we on track? And so I think that's our obligation. So those are the two areas that I would like to see us do better work on.
Okay. Gil Cardone, how about you?
Sure. I think, you know, using the platforms that we have available now, you know, with the internet and everything and mobile devices and apps and everything, I think that's one great thing to utilize purposefully. I agree with Shaheen that I'd like to also expand the community. I'd also like to expand the listeners, the community, not just locally here, but, you know, beyond. You know, coming from New York, I had the opportunity to share, you know, KBOO's, you know, app access to our programming. And, you know, I guess DJ'd a few times, so I wanted to share that with my friends in New York, and they were able to tune in, you know, live during my shows. So I thought that was great. So, I mean, that's one way, but I mean also, again, touching upon what I said earlier about, you know, international diversity, not just being at some of these events, but, you know, I had the opportunity to hear one of the organizers for that Jade Night Market interviewed over the radio. And what I thought was interesting is he mentioned that not only were they, you know, getting really embedded in there too, and finding local businesses that were not maybe as well known as other small businesses, but they were in their marketing materials, the flyers they were using, they were utilizing different languages, the languages of the, you know, whatever nation or country they come from. And that's important, because you have to show that you're trying to make the effort. You want to understand where they're coming from, and it's like extending a hand or extending a bridge to say, let's connect, let's find out more about each other, and I'm making the effort, and please, you know, join our community, because we do welcome you, and we want you to know that.
Good answer. Okay, well, you know, I can't believe that we have nearly used up all our time, so I'm going to ask one more question. Really, it's basically a one-word answer. What's your favorite program on KBOO? Let's start with Tim.
I think Voices from the Edge, Hard Knock Radio, Democracy Now, and a lot of the music. So I'm okay. Cheating it more than one.
We won't mark down for that. But Gil, how about you? What's your favorite program?
I would say any slot I'm guest DJing for. no, seriously though, I'm a big fan of Democracy Now. Again, you know, people's voices. You know, we all have one, and it needs to be shared. So that's important.
Okay, Shaheen, how about you? What's your favorite KBOO program?
I love The Melting Pot. Yeah. I thoroughly enjoy listening to it, and I also like Democracy Now, of course.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank all three of you for taking the time out this morning to be here and talk with our members, talk with all of us here, to get a chance to, you know, just keep this conversation going about where community radio, specifically this community radio station, is going and needs to go. And as you pointed out, Tim, it's been a long conversation, nearly 50 years,
right.
And we want to keep that conversation going. So all of you out there listening, you know, don't make this a passive thing. KBOO Community Radio means being involved, mm-hmm. being engaged. Come to the board meetings. Check out the website. Look at the board minutes. Call up and talk to folks, or just drop in by the studio and see what's going on and talk to folks. But it's all about being engaged and being part of that community. So I hope you'll do that. I hope you'll, and of course, vote in all the elections for, you know, and all the processes here we have. And just remember, membership drive is coming up. That's the other important thing for all, especially you folks who are listening who aren't members yet. So again, thank you all for being here. I'm Dave Mazza. You've been listening to Voices from the Edge. I'll be back next week, where we'll be kicking off Membership Drive with Greg Palast and a few other interesting things to talk about.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
All right. Y'all have a good day now.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that glitter is gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
And good morning, 1 minute before 9 o'clock on your Thursday morning, your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Get up, stand up.
Coming up in a half hour on Fight the Empire, host Per Fogering discusses Europe and the migrant crisis. He also discusses the depleting of Africa and how much more money flows out of Africa than flows into the continent as aid. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia is off today. Instead, we'll hear an hour of flashpoints. Today, a special report on the current migrant crisis in Hungary and the immediate region. Also, a preview of the 2015 Soil Not Oil International Conference. And we speak with Harvey Wasserman on Obama in Alaska and alternative energy. At 11 on Between the Covers, writer David Mitchell talks about his novel The Bone Clocks. And at 11:30, it's Black Book Talk. Local author and activist Walida Imarisha discusses Octavia's Brood, science fiction stories from social justice movements. But first, it's Press Watch with news you're not supposed to know with Teresa Mitchell. And that is coming up next on KBOO.
Have you entered the KBOO Fall Membership Drive Sweepstakes? The grand prize is a trip to Busuria's